Shiram alois mimam akim kurosicho adunno. Oy no, ishimo ve koili, tienos necho kashuvois lo koil tachanuno. Mavoy nois tishmor yo, adoy noi mi yamoy. Kim choas licho leman tivorei. Kivisi adoy noi, kiviso nafshi, velidvoroi oi cholti. Shila doino, imi shoymerim la boiker, shoymerim la boiker. Yachel Yisrael ala doino, ki ma doino, yachesed biarbe imoy fudu. Yves Israel, Nicole, love and I saw. Sheer Lama Loy, Theso in Ayel Hearim, me I in your voyage. Rimi maduno yoi sei shumayim vore. Halifein lamoit raglecho al yanum shoymerecho. Hinei lo yanum velo yishon shoymer Yisroel. Adonai shomerecho, Adonai tzilucho, al yad yiminecho. Yoimom ha-shemesh lo yankeko, v'yoreyach balaylo. Adonai yishmocho mikoro, yishmo yores nafshecho. Adonai yishmo tezucho v'yecho, mi'ato v'yadui lo.
Say also Mizmor LeDavid on page 590.
Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Rohi lo yachzor. Inoy zdesh yabitzeini, almei menuchoi zinaleini. Nafshi yeshoyve v'yan cheni v'magle tzedek l'man shemoi. Gam ki eilech v'gei tzalmo ves lo yiro ro ki ato imodi shiftecho u'mishantecho heimo yenachamuni. Haroi, chlofonai, shulchon, neged soroi, Di shanto b'shemen roshi kois rivayo. Ach toi vokhesed yirdufu nikol yimechayoi v'shavti b'beis Adonai le'orech yomim.
Page 146 at the bottom.
Achenu kol beis Yisroel hanasunim etzora b'shivyon dimbein b'yom b'bosho hamochim irachem aleim yotzim etzora l'rvocho miyafele li'ol m'shivu l'gilo ashda v'golov ezman gori v'nei mar umeim. El mole rachamim shoychein bamurimim mametzer menuchon ochoinu al kanfe ashechino b'malois gedoshim utoim gezorah ki amadrim es nishmas soro aviv abas yitzchon sholchol olomo bavon shemalo Yiten tzedoko b'yadas koras nishmaso v'gan edin tiyeh menuchoso lochein bala rachamim yasderei o b'seser k'nofov li olamim pitzro b'tzurachayim es nishmaso harino yunacholoso v'sano v'shalom mal mishkuvo v'nimar omein. I have to ask mechila, forgiveness from Aviva, her family, friends, if I have to be mekatzer, if I have to cut short the words that I have to say. There's much more to say, but there's not a lot of time to say it. The family has to leave by 11 o'clock, and we have numerous people who would like to honor Aviva's memory this morning. So I'm not going to do justice to Aviva's life in the few short words that I'm going to say. I'd known Aviva for a long time. And even though of recent times we had not been so close, that was really of her choosing. And I got a call from David a few months ago that she wanted to see me. And I was a little surprised. I had not gone. I hadn't gone to visit her not because I didn't want to go, but because I felt it might pain her to go. There was nothing negative between us. It's just our paths diverged. In fact, at one point we were actually worked very closely together in more of a professional capacity because Aviva, it wouldn't be right to say that she trained prospective converts. It would be more correct to say that she adopted people. And so she would consult with me about various people who were involved in our community, and she was their madricha, no, she was their ima.
So I was a little surprised when David called. But I went, of course. And the conversation that I had with her was a conversation that I have never had with anyone else. We were alone. Her sister was in the house. But she said things to me that only Aviva could say. And I replied to her things that only I could say. And it was heart-wrenching. It was heart-wrenching. She wanted to know the truth. And that was really her chesima. Chosim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. God's seal is the seal of truth. And that was Aviva's hallmark too. She didn't want it any other way. I'm sure that's why she asked that I should come. She didn't want it sugar-coated. Tell it to me like it is. Not sure why she felt that I could tell her about Gehenna more than anyone else, but that's what she wanted to know. And I told her what the Kabbalah that I had received from great people. And at the end, she was utterly exhausted. And so was I. And I told her that if she needed me at any time, she could call me again. But she did not. I think she had the answers that she wanted. I noticed that in that conversation, she didn't really speak much about herself. Other than the fact that she felt that there was so much left to do and so little time to do it. And that her life, she had accomplished very little. And I tried to reassure her that in effect, she had accomplished a great deal. And she had brought a great deal of joy to people's lives. And she had transformed people's lives in many deep, deep ways. And that was an enormous contribution that she'd made. And she should savor that. And I think she felt somewhat comforted at that. She spoke about her husband. She spoke about Shai. She spoke about things that obviously were on her mind. She wasn't very concerned about dying. She had accepted that. She was concerned about those that would live on after her and what would be for them. That was the hallmark of Aviva too. She cared so much about everyone else. Everyone else's comfort level. Those of you who spent Shabbos by them knew that that's who she was. You know, the rabbis tell us, it's a Gemara in Ksuvis, but it's a pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Vayechi. The pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu is asking Yosef HaTzadik, his son, his beloved son, not to bury him in Egypt. If I found favor in your eyes, do me a toiva. You don't owe me anything, but do me a toiva. Do me a favor. Simno yodcho tachas yerechi. Place your hand. Make a solemn oath to me. Al nostik bereini b'mitzroyim. Don't bury me in Egypt. Do for me this kindness and truth. This kindness and truth. And the rabbis learn Rashi comments on that strange turn of phrase that it's the chesed shalem, it's the ultimate kindness, apparently. The true kindness is the kindness that a person is einam mitzapel gmul. He doesn't look for reward. That's an awfully strange thing to say. But the only kindness that you ever do in your life is the chesed you do for the dead. What about all the other kindness? So the Gemara is a Gemara in Ksuvis that seems to contradict that. But I'm going to try to explain that really I don't think there's a contradiction at all. The Gemara says like this. I realize time is very short. And it's not a shiur. I want you to understand from what I'm about to say, I think it's a very important thing. One of my Rosh Yeshivas said you have to somehow, right, uptight, you have to capture the essence of who that person is, because we have to know what it is that we have lost. And I feel if I don't do this, we can talk about Aviva, but we won't really understand the chisoron, the loss that we are now experiencing. Not that we won't miss her, of course we'll miss her, right? But we have to understand what it is that we've lost. So the Gemara says, famous pasuk from Kehelis, right? The pasuk starts, Toiv Shem Mishem and Toiv V'yom Amoves Miyom Yivaldoi, that a good name is better than fine oil, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. Much to talk about that, but we'll pass on. Tov l'leches l'beis evil, m'leches l'beis mishta. It's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of rejoicing. A wedding feast, a funeral, is better to go than a wedding feast. Why is that? Ki sof kol adam, that's the end of all men. V'achayitin l'liboy, and the one who is alive, in every sense of the word, will take it to heart. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Mai v'achayitin l'liboy, dvorim shel misa, he'll think about death. He'll think about death because Besaped Yisbeduni, because that he is giving the eulogy now, so they will eulogize him. The Koval Yigbrune, that because he is burying this person, he will be fitting for a burial. The Yadel Yidlune, because he wails. That's how Rashi explains it. He wails, so they will wail for him. De lavoy yovune, and because he escorted the dead, they will escort him. Betoyen yitunne, and the one who, and he, because he carried the casket, the orin, so they will carry. What do you mean chesed shalemis? What are you talking about chesed shalemis? Right, you're getting paid back. Right? That's not chesed shalemis. Everything that you do for the dead, right? You see, you're getting paid back. That's a contradiction. How can that be? I think it's because Shlomo HaMelech said that it's better to go toiv leches lebeis evil, meleches lebeis mishta. It's better to go there because it gives you a perspective on reality that you otherwise wouldn't have. You're able to see things clearly in a way that you couldn't. And most of us spend our lives not seeing things clearly. I think we would all agree to that. We live in an illusion. We live in an illusion. asked the Ponovitcher Rov, Prehaneman, asked him about a strange custom that exists, that people who go to a levaya, go to a funeral, they go, right, but they don't come back in the same way. They use a different route than they went when they return. They asked him, what's the meaning of this strange custom? He said, what's the meaning? How can you leave a funeral the same way as you go there? How can it not change you? How could you come back the same route? You have to change. Even if it's only for 15 minutes, you have to change. Aviva was a person who lived with a grasp of reality before she passed. And before she needed, and she didn't need to go to a levaya to have that. And she just saw truth for what it was. It was so hard for her, and the people that she worked with in Giur, it was so difficult for her to see if they wouldn't do things exactly the way they should. There are a lot of other people who would just say, it's okay, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. Right? For Aviva, it consumed her. She called me. We spent lots of time talking about her, these conversion candidates. And she wasn't, I think in the end she just wasn't able to do it, because it was so difficult for her to see people who would not be totally committed in the way that she was totally committed. That's Chesed Shel Emes. Chesed Shel Emes means any chesed that you do, not because you're thinking about what you're going to get from it. Of course we're going to be rewarded for everything that we do, but that's not important. Where do you see that? At a levaya, you see that. No one gives a eulogy because they want to be eulogized. No one escorts the dead because they want to be. That comes along. That's part of the package. Of course, there's a reward for everything. But at a levaya, you don't think about that. Your focus is different. Your focus is on, right, emes. Aviva was focused on that all the time. That's who she was. It's not easy to live with people like that. Right? They live in a different zone. It's like the people of Luz, right? That they never spoke Sheker. Right? Anathema to her. She called me when she wanted to speak to me at the end, because she didn't want people to give her no trips. Right? Just tell me, this is how it is. And when I told her, I could see she shuddered in the way that I should have shuddered. A rega of Gehenna, a moment. And I could see that how it affected her. But Aviva doesn't need to worry, I think. Because Aviva's Gehenna is here, in this world. This is where she was paid off. And I think she knew that too. It was just too bizarre. Yeah. Bizarre. I mean, a person who spent her life concerned about her health to be consumed at the end in the awful way that she was. It's nothing more ironic and bizarre than that. Don't tell me that that's not Gehenna in Olam Hazeh. It is. Think that that's why she waited until she waited, couldn't wait any longer, because she felt, even though there was no sichsuch, there was nothing between us. The feelings were to each other, were, I think, we both had admired and respected each other enormously. But I think in some way she felt that I would, somehow, my COVID or whatever it was, it would be impacted, and it wasn't, of course, but that's how she felt. And she felt everything, and she felt it very, very deeply. And that's what we've lost. That's what we've lost. We have lost a sima shel emes, a seal of truth. There are very few people around today like this. I mean, maybe we feel this way on Ne'ilah, on Yom Kippur. Maybe.
once a year, maybe. But Aviva lived like that. She lived like that. That was her life. Just Emes. And she was willing to receive as she was willing to give. That's a very special quality that we've lost. And that's something that is not easily replaced. And that's something I think that we should all, V'acha yitin eliboy, we should all take that to heart. We should all try, make a Kabbalah, that for something, some moment of the day, we're going to just live with that clarity, with that truth. Otherwise, I think we're doing her a disservice. We haven't learned from her. There's a great deal that we can continue to learn from her, even though she's not here. Chesed shel emes. No expectations. None. Chesed shel emes. The only thing she was concerned about is ad kidei kach that she didn't want her family to come with her to Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That was her request. That was her request. Don't come. It would be too difficult for you. It will be too... I'm not concerned about myself. I'm not concerned about being alone. I know she's written letters for Shai to be read at different times in his life. Not concerned about herself. Only concerned about everyone else. That's Chesed Shel Emes. Call and Debbie would like to say a few words.
Everyone knows that I was Aviva's friend, but somewhere along the line it transformed into becoming family, and so we were family. And over this past year, we would talk about a lot of things, and one of the things that she had asked me to do was to speak, but she gave me very specific parameters of what I would say. First of all, she was incredibly frank and direct, totally Israeli, and really like a sabra, very rough on the outside, but very, very soft and tender on the inside. And she was tender, and a lot of people didn't know her in that way, but she was. My very first time that I met her, it was through the Hellers. It was through the Hellers. I had just gotten married, and she set us up, my label, Zechel Levracha, and I up to go to Aviva's. And I arrived Friday afternoon with a big thing of flowers, and she opens up the door, and she says, "Who are you?" And I tell her, "I'm, you know, Deborah Rudolph, and my husband Ben is yes, we're so looking forward to it." And she says, "You're not due here until next Friday." So I was sure I was right, and we've argued about this up until her death. But I was probably wrong. So gave her the flowers. She made sure we had a place to go to. And the next week we came, and it was immediate. You know, Label and Aviva were both incredibly passionate people, and the connection was just there between all of us. So I think what Rabbi Cohen just said about Aviva being... Aviva, I know her as having the broadest, biggest heart in the world. She always had everyone's interest at heart, and especially mine. She took so much joy, even until the last, that I was getting married again. And she only wanted to be at the wedding, and she actually stressed over not having an outfit and made me go to a place in Beverly Hills every week to just check to see if I could find an outfit for her, just in case she'd be able to make it. She was authentic. She was very impatient. But you always knew where you stood with her. And she would give me tochacha, rebuke, but it was always for my benefit. She would tell me when I wasn't looking good, if I had too much makeup on, if I didn't have enough makeup on. But I always knew where I stood, and I knew it was always from a place of love, and it was just like family. That's what you expect, someone to be that honest with you. She loved teaching people about the important things in life. And she taught Torah to a lot of people, and she took a lot of joy about it. And she was even teaching up until, I think, the last month and a half, because I would come and see her teaching. She wanted to teach people about good food, eating healthy, how important it was to make yourself look good in your marriage, how important it was to surround yourself with good people and judge a person by how they treat a housekeeper or how they treat someone in a grocery market, a clerk in a grocery market, rather than how they treat their friends. And she was always sacrificing for other people, no matter how tired she was. She would be preparing the most incredible Shabbos dinners for everybody. And she always had an open home. She had incredibly large Shabboses. She had huge holiday meals. I mean, she would have 25, 30 people over. So many people counted on her invitations that she knew that she, even if she wanted to take a vacation herself, she knew she couldn't because people were counting on her to be there for a special holiday meal. Her sukkah was amazing, and David was always amazing leading it, but they had incredible Bukhari rugs all over the place, and she cooked incredible food, and she was incredibly merciful. I remember she came back from one of her operations, and she was in such agony, such unbelievable agony, and someone called her up on the phone and asked if they could stay there that Shabbos. They didn't know that she had gone for surgery. And she said, of course, come over. You'll have, Shia's room. And they did. And when I got a little upset with her, and I said, Aviva, what are you doing? You just had an operation. And she just said, Debbie, people don't have a place to stay. I have a room. There's a reason why there's room here. And, and I learned from that. God gives you these things for a reason. And you have to share them. She knew she was impatient, and partially that was because she could get hurt very easily. And as honest and blunt as she was with others, she was very honest with herself. And she knew she made mistakes, and she tried to grow from them, especially in the end. She was a fierce and very loyal friend. She and David, actually after Label Zechel Lebracha passed on, would actually come to my house every Motzi Shabbos, and just sit with me because they knew I'd be lonely. I was living in the valley. And they would talk to my mother for hours. And she fed me. Those were the only meals I ate, and for almost a year. And she was very passionate. She was passionate about having an open home, about feeding people healthy food, and she was very passionate about making sure people knew what it was to be a good host as well as a good guest. And she wanted me to let all of you know that when you have people over for Shabbos or a holiday, it's very important not to keep them sitting around, but to bring them to the table immediately and get some food into them so then they can be satiated and fully hear the words of Torah. Being a wife and a mother was always number one for her. She loved Shia and David and was totally concerned about them and their futures. She tried to teach David how to cook in the last couple of months, but it wasn't working very well. But Shia was an incredible gift from God for her. And she was so, so worried that she would not make a good mother. And she was so happy that she realized that she could be a mother and that she was good at it. And she as Rabbi Cohen said, even prepared letters of guidance for him at different stages of his life. And she had other loves of her life. And, you know, besides her family in Israel, there was her brother Avi and Diane and their children Adam and Jonathan. And she got so much joy from them. Even though she was in incredible pain, she totally catered Jonathan's bar mitzvah and took such joy in it. Such joy, I cannot tell you. And she said afterwards it was one of the most joyous occasions in her life, and as Adam's bar mitzvah was. And she said that, she told me that she loved God and hoped that the way she lived her life would bring people closer to him. And when I would come to visit her, not so much recently, but because now she wasn't as coherent, but I would often come on Shabbos and just during the day, during the week, and she would literally be in bed praying to Hashem, and she would say to me and to God that she was okay with her suffering. She has to suffer, but she wanted it to be a kapara for David and for Shaya and for Avi and family and for me and her family, and that you know, so that we wouldn't have to suffer in future. And that she found meaning in that. And that was a weird type of blessing for her, that she knew that there was meaning in all this pain. And in the end, she craved to be surrounded by Katusha every single moment of her life. She wanted to be surrounded by it. She prayed to God. She was actually incredibly cogent the last weeks of her life, and she herself organized most of the shalashudises that we had at her house, where all of you would just come and sing these amazing songs, which she loved, Hebrew songs and Tehillim, and she loved Sephardic melodies, and she loved hearing y'all sing them. And she craved to hear Devar Torahs in the last moments. And she never lost her love for Israel and her desire to return there. And she kept saying in the end that she wanted to go home. And, you know, I think it blurred for her that home was Israel, but home was also she wanted to go back to Hashem. And she... I'm just glad for her that she's back home, and I feel incredibly blessed that she considered me family.
Michael Frisch, family friend.
I wasn't going to speak today. I really wish that I could have told Aviva what's in my heart. But when I think of Aviva, I think of Shabbos. And many of the people here I've met at Aviva's Shabbos table, and others I'm sure have been there. And when I think of Shabbos and I think of Aviva calling up and saying and inviting us, when she'd invite us, it wasn't asking us to come, it was saying, "You're coming for Shabbos." That was Aviva. And every Shabbos at Aviva's table was different. And sometimes I think of the food and the ever-expanding table. It was amazing how you could fit so many people around one table. The table was small, but, you know, to have 35 people there, it was a possibility. That was only in Aviva's house where that table would just expand and continued to expand. And the food was always so wonderful. She would make a variety of dishes just when you thought there was, you had the main meal would come out. And every once in a while, there were certain dishes that I really loved. And I mean, just, I said, you know, told my wife, "I would love for you to be able to make this." And she would ask Aviva for the recipe. And Aviva would say, "Oh, I'll give you the recipe." And she says, "Just put this in, put this in, put this in, and that's it." And Lily would say, "Well, wait a minute, How much of this should I put in? What he says, oh, just season to taste. You know, just put it in, and whatever comes out for you. Okay. Her Shabbos table was the same way. There were a variety of people at the Shabbos table. Always different people. Everything from physicists to doctors to people who were unemployed to people who were highly observant and those who were just beginning to learn about Judaism. There was a variety of people, and her Shabbos table was also seasoned to taste. Shabbos with you, David, and with Aviva was a very, very special thing for us. And it was an experience not to be duplicated anywhere else. There are very few people who I can say bring you closer to Hashem, but she was one of those. She was someone who, in our lives, really made a big difference insofar as bringing us into Judaism, really trying to teach us, having an interest in terms of what it is we learn, always asking us on the holidays, how was your holiday, what was the theme of the holiday for you, what did the rabbi say, always encouraging us to talk, always encouraging us to share, and just truly having a marvelous experience. And as I said, she brought us closer to Hashem, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, David, too.
Aaron Isaacson, friend of the year.
As Aviva did with Debbie, she also imparted her words upon me to share with you. She's very adamant about it. And we went over it and over it to make sure I could get it right. I loved Aviva dearly, as in all of you did. I was actually thinking of what she reminded me of. And she was definitely like Sarah Manu, welcoming, cooking, embracing everyone. Everyone was welcomed in her home. No one should be left out. You should love people, and people should be loved, and you should be generous with everyone, especially your friends, and share your friends dearly with everyone. And it's so funny because I'm seeing people here that I met with Aviva. And it's so delightful how she brought so many people together. And that was just truly something that she just wanted people to be together. You know, if you're not part of a family, you're part of a bigger family. And you should appreciate that and love that and accept everyone and love everyone. She, as many probably singles or young women, she was very adamant about the cooking. And she said, You have to do it right. And you must have a few recipes that you can do well and do fast. It's best to make hummus from scratch because it's cheaper and much easier. But you should always keep a few extra chickens around just in case you have to feed a crowd on a pinch. And again, people are always hungry. Even if they say they're not, they're hungry. Feed them. She also said, most importantly, keep it short and sweet. And people remember what you say when you keep it short and sweet. People will just think more fondly of things when it's short and sweet and simple. And you can have a longer impact usually if it's short and sweet. And my time with her recently, even just last Thursday, we were playing some music. Israeli Sephardic, I believe it's Tehillim. And even then, she pulled up her hand and snapped her fingers a little and dancing. And she really wanted people to know that we should dance more. We should feel the joy of life. Feel Hashem's blessing with each other and share it.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll try to talk loud. Before I say something about Viva, I just want to thank the community here for the, the amazing community here. Sometimes I think that in Los Angeles we don't give ourselves credit for the good things that we do and the community that we do have. I want to thank the many people who took good care of Aviva and of me and of Shia during the past year and 2 months. There are so many, and I have a list here. I know the time is short, so I'm not going to read them all, but there are just so many people that really have been involved with helping us. And I really do appreciate it. I'm not going to start, because if I start, I've probably missed somebody. There's just so many people. I will talk about it, though, this week. I'll tell you about what everybody did, but not here, because the time is short. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Aviva and what I admired about her. When I first met Aviva, I thought, who is this exotic woman? Because I was this Ashkenazi from Baltimore, Maryland, and I was in Israel, and there was this kind of lighthearted woman whose family came from Bukhara, and I'd never heard of Bukhara before. And she made me laugh with her wily sense of humor. And I remember when I was first considering a proposal of marriage to her, I asked her in a kind of romantic tone of voice what she wanted out of a man. And she said that she wanted a husband to do sponja. Which, for those of you who don't know, that's the Israeli way of mopping the floor. And she wanted someone to take out the garbage, of course. So my romantic moment was deflated by her Israeli humor. Our Yerushalmi wedding was very special, and Aviva invited, I don't know, hundreds of people, 500 people, and arranged for them to be fed somehow. I don't know how she did it. Neither of us had much money at that point, and she was very resourceful. And we had colorful Bukhari costumes that are very special, brought out only for very special occasions. It was a great party, and the dancing never stopped, and she had Sephardic and Hasidic music, which played for 4 hours straight without a break. And when we came to Los Angeles, Aviva was a one-woman kiruv machine. And our home became a place where so many came to feast, as has been mentioned here, on Aviva's wonderful gourmet creations. And every year, for 10 years or more, Aviva actually hosted thousands of people, I think probably every year, with especially large numbers on Sukkot and Pesach. And whether it was assisting a woman with a shidduch or giving advice on how to solve a problem, Aviva was always available. The phone never stopped ringing. After a while, I didn't answer it anymore because I knew it was for her. So what was the point? It was, don't answer it. And of course, after many years of trying to have children, Shia came into our lives. And when Aviva saw Shia's picture, she knew that he was the child for her. She just knew it. And she devoted herself fully to Shia. And she took, a year and a half and just spent time with him so they could bond together. And Aviva became Mamush. That was what Shia called Aviva. And she took on a new role, even as, unbeknownst to her, she was becoming ill. And her illness it was discovered a year and 2 months ago, but it actually was affecting her for many years. And as people have said before, Aviva was a woman who never stopped giving. She loved good food, singing, music, healthy conversations. She loved her family in Israel. She was the oldest of 8 children. And the role of big sister, as everyone can see, is one that became a way of life for her, and as many people can attest. She was a unique and noble person.
She was a person of deep faith. And though the illness that eventually took her life affected her spirit, but in the end it didn't break it. And at the end she was calm. 2 days before she died, when she couldn't talk, I winked at her and threw her a kiss, and she did the same back to me. So many will miss the Aviva that we knew, the hospitable Aviva, the caring Aviva, funny, musical, spontaneous, and direct Aviva, and Aviva the entertainer. She was a one-of-kind person. A few weeks ago, Aviva said something to me that I won't forget. She said that early in her life, that the early part of her life had been very hard, but that after we were married, she said that she had a ball. And that she said to me just a couple of weeks ago. She only wanted to give pleasure to the people in her life, and she succeeded in so many ways. She wanted to live a beautiful life. I apologize to my dear Aviva, for I know there were ways in which I wasn't a perfect husband. May the memory of you be a blessing for Shaya and for all of us. Thank you.
The Shiva is beginning tonight. Mincha at 7:30 at 8838 Alcott, and tomorrow morning at 6:45. I think we have 1 minute or two. Perhaps I just something a little unconventional, but I think it might be, under the circumstances, very appropriate, given how much people enjoyed spending Shabbos at the Steinbergs. And there is a minig to say an Eishes Chayil at a Levaya. So if you have a Siddur handy, or if you can get one, page 358, and we'll say Kaddish after it. We're going to sing.
Eishes chayil mi'imetzah v'rachok mipnim mi'chrovavavo tako levalo v'sholo lo yechzah Gimelatsu toif loiro koil yemei tayeho dorshotem rufishtim betaz betevitz kapeho hoyetso ki oni oi soicher mimer hato vilachmo atoko mi od lailo Batiten terev leveis overgod ben arozeo Zaman oso deviti kocheu Mi pri chapeo natu korem Chogro bi ois masneo Batam mizroizeo Tomo kitov sakro Lo yiz bebelailo nevo yodeo Shilcho bakishor V'gapeyo tom kufolech Kapo posolioni V'yadeyo shilcho li'evi Yoynoi siro v'veizom sholech Kigo beso levushonim Marvadim adesala Sheish v'yagomon lebubusho Noido bishyorim balo Vishifto im zikne oret Sodim ozesovatim ekoir Vestagon oz nolak nanim Oiz vehodor lebusho patis kokleoi makaroin ki opos kovetokmo besoi raskeset al shomoin tefi ali chois peiso velechem atlus loisoi cheil kamu vineo viashvuo balo vaya halelo rabois bonus Osu kayil viatali saukulono sheker acharein hevel ayoyti isha yirat adoino hiti tenu laho ipi